Today on Real Radio.
And when Warmbrandt was in prison, he was in prison with one of the great scientists that reported to the Supreme Soviet regarding evolution. And guess what? They commissioned this scientist. And this is the argument that I gave to this man, and it completely crushed him. You're going to say, you're joking? Don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation, chapter 22, the final chapter of the final book of Scripture. In fact, we begin our very last study in this fascinating series. Verses 18 through 21, which takes us all the way to the end, contains the final prayer recorded in Scripture. This prayer reflects one of the great hopes of the believer, the return of the Messiah. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called, I Am Coming Quickly.
But how can I know that my Bible is holy or complete? I'm going to ask you to jot down three things. Very important. Please write these down. Stop pretending, first of all, about your Christianity and become one. How do I know if my Bible is completely, truly the Bible? Well, stop talking about it and stop living and start living it. Amen? Start doing it. You'll never know if the Bible is absolutely the Word of God and dynamic until you read it and get out and put it into practice. But you know what? Armchair Christianity will accomplish nothing. In fact, it slows everyone else down who's trying to do and live for God. Stop being a Sunday Christian and be an everyday Christian and put God's Word into power. You can sit around and debate the Bible and listen to all these. I got to tell you. It's hard enough for me to find time to study the Bible, and I'm a pastor teacher of the Bible. How can you spend time in books of lunacy and also get into your Bible and know it as well? I don't get it. Stop pretending and dive into the Word of God. More on that in a moment. Number two, determine now to put the Bible into practice. Go on a diet, I put it this way, and eat up the Word of God. So listen, stop pretending. Determine now to practice the Bible and go on a diet, meaning this, eat up the Bible. You know, the book of Jeremiah tells us, Jeremiah said, when I found your word, Lord, I ate it. And when I ate it, I found that it was the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Church, do you hear me? Do you know anything about Jeremiah? He was just a teenager. Scholars estimate that he was somewhere between 15 to 19 years of age when God called him to preach the Word of God. And listen to this. God says, Jeremiah, I want you to preach your guts out, buddy. I want you to preach your heart out. I don't want you to just deviate one moment from the message. And I want you to just let Israel have it. I'll tell you exactly what to say. Listen to this. And by the way, no one's going to listen to a word you say. And not only that, they're going to arrest you and they're going to throw you in prison. They're going to beat you up. You're going to be an absolute mockery of this nation, and they're going to hate your guts. I got to tell you, when God called me, I know God called me to be a pastor teacher. I am more sure of that than I am the actual legality of my last name. But I got to tell you, if God would have said, Jack, I want you to preach your guts out, no one's going to come, no one's going to believe a word you say, they're going to hate you and throw you into prison. I would have maybe said, Lord, would you like to bless someone else with this ministry, please? Eat it up. Point number two this morning, Jesus is coming quickly. So what else? We need to stand in our holy Bibles unto the end. We need to stand in our holy Bibles unto the end. Verse 19. Now check this out. Verse 19, if anyone takes away. Pause right there. Verse 18 speaks to the cults about adding to the book. Verse 19 talks about taking away from the book. Stop right there. Verse 18 recognizes and identifies the cults. Anything, anyone adding to the Bible. Verse 19 talks about anyone taking away from the Bible. To be a cult you would add to the scriptures. What has come out in the last 2,000 years? Well, the list is a who's who. And whatever pops into your head, you got it. Islam, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, The Way International, Sun Young Moon. There's a lot of light for you, huh? Sun Young Moon. What else is out there? Transcendent, Ron L. Hubbard, or L. Ron, what's his name? Whatever it is, Hubbard. Who's the gal on the beach? She just cracks me up. I am God, I am God. Who is this? Shirley MacLaine. I am God, I am God. I'm sorry, I've seen the video. When I first saw it, I remember just going, what? Oh my gosh. And then Lord, send a wave. She's standing on the shore of Malibu. I am God. Say it with me. I am God. Say it louder. I am God. And I'm thinking, wham, tsunami. Anyway, I'm sorry. But all of these things, John Denver thought he was God. Rajneesh up in Oregon thought he was God. Scientology. All this stuff. It breeds aberrant theology. It's a cult. Now, verse 19. Ooh, it switches from cult status to theological liberalism. Listen to this, verse 19. And if anyone takes away, oh, this is terrifying. From the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Listen to this. This taking away is amazing because it directly warns against biblical liberalism, and no doubt like never before in our day, we need to hear this more than ever. Listen to this. Biblical liberalism is this: to diminish, to revise, to suppress, or to alter, to usurp authority over the author with the intent to change its original meaning, thus a false prophet. False prophet, yes. False prophets give birth to cults, but also modern liberal theology. See, what are you talking about, modern liberal theology? Well, first of all, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2 says, you shall not add to the word of God, neither shall you take away from it. Deuteronomy 4, 2. Listen to this. You don't add to the Bible, and you don't take away from it. You're going to be punished by God. You don't mess with it. This is his word. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 3, listen to this. Peter said, and he's, imagine Peter speaking to us right now. He'd show up, big burly guy, smell of fish upon his clothes. Peter would say right here today, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly or covertly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them. Dan Brown denies the Lord who paid a price for his sins, as do many others, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many people will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of salvation or the way of truth would be blasphemed against. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Amazing, isn't it? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 to 21 says this, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. And Peter quotes, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Peter says, and we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to take heed to as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? That's what the Bible says about itself. Man didn't write the Bible. The Bible says the Holy Spirit possessed men to write the Bible. That's why the Bible is without error. That's why you can't find a flaw in it. If you think you found a flaw in the Bible, you need to first of all go study it, because God didn't speak in English for one thing. He spoke it in Greek and Hebrew and a little bit of Aramaic. Study it. There's no need for another revelation. There's no need for another testament. God already condemns that. All has been given. We'll see more clearly as we look at this. But before we go to the third point, you might want to ask the question, but how do I stand in my holy Bible, my complete Bible into the end? I'm going to give you three things again. Start to take your daily reading and glue it to your life. In other words, my friend, you know how we're reading through the Bible as a church together? I think this is our second year, isn't it? Our second or third year going through the Bible together? And look, every time I say that, people will go, oh no, I forgot. I don't want to hear about you having forgotten. If you forgot, you forgot. Start today. Always start today. Well, yeah, but I haven't read in a week. Start today. Don't back up. Start today. Pick it up and start in today's date in your one-year Bible. Get in it. But here's what I want you to do. Take a highlighter or a pen, and when you're reading, you know, for example, it happens something like this. Gee, I don't feel good. Gee, I got an appointment with the doctor. Gee, something's wrong. Oh, well, I'm reading my Bible. And then you come to this psalm, and he says that he sent out his word and healed you from all your destructions. You highlight that, and then you make it that verse for your day and say, Lord, that psalm that I read this morning, Lord, I'm asking you to heal me of my possible destructions or what's wrong with my life. Lord, heal me. That's how you take the word and make it happen. God's word is alive, and it's breathing, and it's waiting. But you know what? You got to take it into your heart. Bible in, Bible out. You ever seen somebody get sick? You ever been sick? I went to the L.A. County Fair last year, ate too much food. Too much food in? In other words, anyway. You take in the Bible. Bible's going to come out. It's going to come out in how you think. It's going to come out in what you say. This is critical. Look at our third point this morning. Because Jesus is coming quickly, number three, we need to trust in our Lord Jesus Christ right now. Look what he says, verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, John says. But look at the letters in red. How do we trust Jesus Christ more and more? How do we trust him, the Lord? Number one, you do it now. Christian, listen now. You cannot find one step, one comma, one statement, one word in the Bible where God has lied to you. He's not tricked you once. He's not led you astray. He's not deceived you. You can trust him. Jesus says, I'm coming quickly. You say, Jack, I have a problem with that statement right there. It hasn't been very quick. 2,000 years ago. I'm not going to believe he's coming at all. Are you nuts? Are you insane? If Jesus didn't come back 2,000 years ago when John wrote these last few words, let me ask you, does it mean he's not coming back? Oh, I guess it means he's not coming back. My friend, take a short little class in logic. If he is the truth, and he is, and he's God who cannot lie, and he is, if he says he's coming back, and he will, but he hasn't come back in 2,000 years, he has not, then logic concludes it could happen any second. Like right now. Or right now. Or right now. Think. See, you're funny. I'm not saying you're funny. I'm just making this up right now. You. You're funny. Because you're complaining that he hasn't come back, so you're not going to trust him. But if he would have come back, you'd probably wind up in hell because you don't trust him. But because he's been patient, now you have the opportunity to trust him. So I highly encourage you to trust him who's never lied, who cannot lie, lest you be left behind all because you didn't trust him. Believe him. Trust him. He's never played with you. And if you think he has, it's been the antics of man and the ill motives of others. Know your Bible and thereby know thy God, and you'll do fine. You'll never be led astray by the liberals or by the cults When they knock on your door or when they have their Jesus seminar, you can answer them. You can refute them. I'll never forget standing in Moscow, Russia in 1992 or 1892. I forget when it was. It was a long time ago. And we were giving the gospel, and a man walked by in all of his arrogance. I'll never forget him. He had his binder underneath his arm. He's walking by. And I was the one giving Christ publicly on the street at that moment. He walked by. He stopped. He waited till I was done. It was classic, you guys. I wish you could have all been there. Some of you were. He had a pipe. It was the quintessential snapshot picture of intelligentsia. His pipe. And his notes. And he tells me in perfect English, I'm the professor of evolutionary biology at the University of Moscow. And you believe what? What is it you believe? You've come all the way from America to tell us. And we began to go at it. I didn't throw a right jab and he didn't. We began to talk and I said, listen, I want to talk to you. And he goes, well, I want to talk to you. And we talked and we talked and we talked. And I was so amped because God moved in that moment. I stood on the holy, complete word of God. I had confidence because it was the Bible. I mean, beneath my feet, I'm standing upon Bibles right now as I stand here. And I watched the word of God go after this man's logic, and it whittled him down. And you know what? Before that guy left, he was bowing his head. We were praying together. He prayed to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And and one of the arguments that completely threw him into the camp of Jesus Christ was, at that time, I had with me a booklet that I think everyone ought to read, if I can just remember the name of it. It has a hammer and sickle on the cover. It's written by Richard Wambrandt. Somebody give me the name if you remember. It's about, anyway, the persecuted church in Russia, in the Soviet Union at the time. And when Wambrandt was in prison, he was in prison with one of the great scientists that reported to the Supreme Soviet regarding evolution. And guess what? They commissioned this scientist. And this is the argument that I gave to this man, and it completely crushed him. You're going to say, you're joking? Don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. I said, you know, one of your own scientists was commissioned by your government to endorse and promote evolution. And the scientist of this country concluded that he had a problem with evolution because he was commissioned to study sheep, on the evolution of sheep. And the scientist, his paper concluded, sheep could not have evolved. It's impossible for a sheep to evolve. Well, how can that be true? Because sheep have to have human care. Well, don't they have a mom and a dad? Yeah, but a mom and dad have no access to scissors or shears. So what does that do to anything? Because after a sheep reaches a certain age, they've got to be sheared or else they'll die. They're completely defenseless, and their parent, even if they're under attack, the sheep will back off and let the other one just get consumed. Sheep have to have human care. Isn't it interesting that Jesus says, I'm your shepherd. You're my sheep. He didn't say, I'm your keeper. You're the donkey. I mean, he should have. He could have. I would have. And my name's Jack already, so I'm close. Sheep have to have human care. And this man said, you know what? I've heard of this, and that's correct. This guy accepted the Lord. He accepted Christ. Listen, you can trust what Jesus has to say. And then fourthly, because Jesus is coming again, we need to enjoy our Lord Jesus Christ every day. We need to enjoy him. Will you please mark that down? Look, we need to enjoy our Lord Jesus Christ every day. How so? Look at verse 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. A few things. The word grace, the grace, by the way, this is the enemy. Listen up. This is the enemy. Grace, charis in Greek. This is the enemy of every cult. It's the enemy of every liberal theologian. Why? Let me tell you why. God extends his grace. Look, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Why is that a threat? Because, my friend, a cult says you got to work your tail off to get into heaven. Any addition to what Christ has done is anathema to God. Well, Pastor, we believe in trusting Jesus, but also we'll enter heaven by believing in Jesus and keeping the commandments and doing all that we can. That's not the gospel. The liberal theologian will tell you, you know what? We'll tell you what part of the Bible is true. By the way, every one of them, this is not a joke. Go research this. Every one of them, they whittle away all the words of Jesus except one they all agree on, that you should tithe. And then, well, he must have said that. Give me money. Oh, yeah, do we all agree he said that? Oh, yeah, 100%. Isn't that funny? They don't want to hear about the grace of God because the grace of God is free. It costs God everything. It's not cheap. And it's free. The Lord paid for it. It's his, and he gives it. And the Bible says to the believer, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now, John's not from Texas. He's just talking about every one of us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The word charis means God's divine influence upon a heart. God's influence accepting us. You and I being benefited by God. The word means to be favored by God. Listen, it means to be gifted, not gifted as talented, but be given a gift. The word means to become an object of God, an object of God. I like that. You've heard, he's a sports legend, or she's a sex object, or he's a king of this, or a thing of that. I love this truth. The grace of God be with you all, amen. Wait a minute. John is saying, may you be an object of God's joy, peace, favor, his goodness, his jealousy, his passion. May you be that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study of Revelation chapter 22 and verses 18 through 21, a passage that records the very last prayer in the Bible. Now, since we're at the end of this series, we've been extending special related offers. There's the MP3 CD that contains all 72 studies in Revelation, as well as the Letters to the Seven Churches, the 7-CD set, which is taken from chapters 2 and 3. Well, there's one last offer we'd like to make that comes out of this series in Revelation. It's called Identifying the Road to Babylon. Identifying the Road to Babylon has been in great demand. Evidently, Real Radio listeners are saying, finally, someone has the courage enough to come out and identify Revelation's use of the term Babylon. Identifying the Road to Babylon is a 4-CD set wherein Pastor Jack warns about worshiping the Queen of Heaven, praying to patron saints and their correlation to pagan gods, the one global religion that will deceive the world, and so on. This 4-CD set is yours for a gift to Real Radio of $20 or more. Now, you can order Identifying the Road to Babylon in one of three ways: call, click, or write. Contact us by telephone at 909-393-7100, 909-393-7100. You can visit us at www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, any details you may have missed are found at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word.
Inside you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.